We finally got the list of the propositions that will be appearing here in California on the November ballot, and at least three of them deal with real estate, so I gotta talk about it.
This is the Andres Segovia Show.
And welcome to the program, everyone. I am your host, Andres Segovia, associate broker at Mark One Real Estate, servicing the areas of Orange County and the greater Los Angeles region. And in this episode, I got to chime in on three propositions. I'm just giving you a preview of these things because they have to be analyzed, but I promise that will give you an update. So I'm chiming in on these to give you a heads up, because believe me, the marketing machine will begin immediately since now these are officially to be on the ballot. We've been waiting for this, and it did drop in the past 48 hours. There were some adjustments made because the legislator basically passed a law to extend their deadline by another day. So that's what took so long. But now we have an idea of what we can anticipate. So I'm pulling straight from the Secretary of State's Office of California. This is Proposition 15. It says, increases funding for public schools, community colleges, and local government services by changing tax assessment of commercial and industrial property. This initiative is a constitutional amendment. The intent is to have a net increase in annual property tax revenues of $7.5 billion to $12 billion in most years, depending on the strength of real estate markets. More on that in a bit. After backfiling state income tax losses related to the measure and paying for county administrative costs, the remaining $6.5 billion to $11.6 billion will be allocated to schools, 40%, and other local governments, 60%. Well, I can already tell you this is going to be very contentious, and it's going to be fought tooth and nail by the commercial and industrial real estate segment of the industry. But the thing is here that they're admitting, this, at least the localities are admitting, that there is a backfiling of state income tax losses and county administrative costs. So instead of cutting down on those costs, they want to make sure they can have it funded. And then after they paid for all the other stuff, maybe, because they're saying, because they don't even know, they have a wide range, $6.5 billion to $11.5 billion would then be allocated to schools. So it's already a false narrative to start by starting off announcing that it's an immediate increasing funding for public schools, community college, and local government services. Actually, they should change that around. They should say it is an increase in funding for local government services and eventually funding for public schools and community colleges. You see the wordplay there? Yes. So we'll see how this one pans out, because the voters read up public schools and community college. Oh yes, we need that. Well, it's different now because COVID, our kids are not even going to the schools anymore. So we'll see how that all pans out. Well, the next one over is Proposition 19. Proposition 19 is property tax breaks, basically. This is an interesting one because it was a bill that was put forward by Assembly Member Kevin Mullen, but was also sponsored by the California Association of Realtors. What this would do is allow homeowners who are over 55, disabled, or victims of a natural disaster to take a portion of their property tax base with them when they sell their home and buy a new one. It would also limit the ability of new homeowners who inherit properties to keep their parents' or grandparents' low property tax rates. That's like grandfathering in the tax rates. Most of the additional money raised would go into a state fire response fund. We'll see entirely how it all plays out, because it's not just a property tax break of sorts. It's also understanding that if there's someone that's going to be inheriting a property from their parents, and they want to keep that tax break, if you will, or the old assessment of the taxes, because honestly it's not being reassessed, it's just literally being passed on. So long as the one inheriting the property is using it as a primary residence, they will not be hit with the reassessment of the property. And I think that makes sense in that sense, if you will, because if they were using it for investment purposes, then now of course the county or the state, and like, hey, we're missing out on funds here, because, you know, if you're going to use it as a rental property, now you're trying to make bank. And yeah, and you know, it's contentious on a lot of fronts, but I'm just putting it out there that I do see where it makes sense that if someone's inheriting the property and it's going to become their primary residence, I don't think they should be penalized for taking over their parents' properties. But if they're going to use it for business, then, well, you're kind of asking for it at that point. So we'll see how the rest of this pans out. But the main one that I have to chime in on is the big one, folks, because I told you over and over and over again, Proposition 10 was defeated big time by the voting public in 2018. And even though we supposedly live in a republic here in California, where the majority rule of people said no to a proposition that the state legislator said, you know what, you guys made a mistake, we're gonna install statewide rent control whether you like it or not. And they did, which went into effect January 1st of this year. And I had long said, it didn't matter that this rent cap, which was signed into law by Governor Newsom back in October and went into effect this year, it was not gonna be enough for the tenant activists. So they immediately went to work, the same group that funded Proposition 13, which is the AIDS Foundation, Proposition 10, the AIDS Healthcare Foundation by this Michael Weinstein, he is putting forward this one again. This is a rent control that would supposedly give or allow cities to introduce new rent control laws or expand existing ones. Why do we need this if we already have a statewide rent cap? Oh, because, you know, the cities need to be able to control those ones. So under this one, the cities would be allowed to apply new rent control ordinances only to homes that are at least 15 years old. And it exempts single family homes owned by landlords with no more than two properties. This is ridiculous. This is the part that jumps out the most. It allows rent increases on rent control properties of up to 15% over 3 years from previous tenants' rent above any increase allowed by local ordinance. This is very like gobbledygook way of saying, yo, vacancy decontrol, we're going to stop that. We're going to roll that away. It doesn't matter. You sign in a new lease with a new tenant, regardless of improvements that you made to the unit, you are going to rent it basically at the same rate as the previous tenancy that you had, even if that tenancy was decades old. That it doesn't matter. Vacancy decontrol is being attacked. And I've said that was going to be the one that they were after in this case because the statewide rent cap did not address vacancy decontrol, which is, in a sense, controlled by local ordinances where they have rent stabilized areas. So now this is the next strike in trying to get rid of the power of Costa Hawkins, the only remaining bastion of protections for homeowner rights in this state. And what we've seen happen during the COVID lockdowns and the overreach by governments to basically take over your property has been nothing short of egregious. And now this is the next step by not just putting a cap on what you can charge, but by also setting the charge that you can charge for rent. This, folks, is an automatic no. No, no. The people voted in majority to say no. And now it's being brought up again after the state rammed it down your throat. And because we have all these activists that are getting support from these legislators for the cancel rent or rent forgiveness stuff. And the tenants have all the protections literally afforded to them by the state and nothing to the homeowners. This is an egregious power grab, a Marxist policy to take over private property, literally. Now I'm going to circle back all the way to the Proposition 15, the one that I mentioned at the beginning. And this is direct from the Secretary of State's website, where it says the net increases in annual tax revenues depending on the strength of real estate markets. The real estate industry is being destroyed by the state legislature. We've had a housing affordability crunch here that has been led by the state legislation and the EPA that is destroying our housing economy here in California. And then they blame the suppliers for it. The audacity of these folks is egregious. And now what are they doing? Passing taxes. And they're saying that these tax revenues are expected depending on the strength of real estate markets. You're going to implode the market and you're not going to get any of these income taxes coming from any of these industries. So what is your next step if you're making all these promises to try to pay back things or increase funding for that, and if you don't get it from there, then where are you going to get it? How else are you going to be punishing people? How do you expect to get taxes when there's no income? It makes no sense, folks. You cannot pass an income tax when there is no income. And right now, the state has literally said, do not pay your rent. None of this makes sense. But then again, this is California. I've actually become used to this sort of nonsense. But we're having a mass exodus of people. What do you think is going to happen to the commercial industrial property industry? What do you think is going to happen to the rental industry, the residential rental industry, once these things get enacted, should they get enacted? People need to be aware of these things. So the more information I pull up about the previous other propositions that I mentioned, I will clarify the positions on those, because I don't know entirely what it all is. Obviously, whenever there's any increase in taxes, I'm just going to say no. So, of course, my initial position in Proposition 15 is a no. I need to understand better what the proposition, I think it was 19. Yes, Proposition 19 regarding tax breaks. I'm kind of split on that. Like, you know what? Maybe so. So right now I'm kind of leaning towards a yes. Proposition 21, on rent control, deja vu? Absolutely not. An unequivocal no. So as I learn more about this, you're going to be hearing more about it from me. So that's why I say like, share, subscribe, stay in the know across all the platforms. This one is not going to make it to YouTube. So you're listening to it here on the podcast. So your podcast directory is the one catching it. But here on out for the month of July, I will be posting almost every single post over to YouTube and Facebook to make sure I have the widest reach possible. But the algorithms from YouTube are slowing down and are not putting my news out there. And big tech is censoring anything that gets in the way of their narrative. So it's something to keep in mind. That's why you got to do a little bit of legwork to get to the news, because before, you're so used to the news being curated to you, just know that big tech is making sure that you don't get the news that's pertinent to you. They're just sending you the news they want you to know and read about. Anyway, that does it for this update from the Andres Segovia Show. Like I said, like, share, subscribe, stay in the know. Visit my website, www.theandressegovia.com. Sign up for Off the Record if you haven't already done so, because the rest of the propositions, I will be signing off there on Off the Record. Thank you for listening in, and I'll see you on the next one.